Thank you very much, Christian. And let me begin by thanking, first of all the visitors, speakers, and who have contributed to today's symposium. We really had very good presentations, very good exchange of information, and a lot of richness which has been shared by the speakers. So thank you very much, all of you. I always see myself very privileged to be able to be part of the team which is made up of the three organizations which is trying to drive this trilateral collaboration, which is now in its fifth year, more explicitly, and has fairly impressive track record in terms of picking up topical subjects in the area of trade, public health, and intellectual property, and zooming in on innovation and access specifically, and trying to lift the quality of discourse in this area at global level. So I really feel very privileged. I would like to begin by, these are just few reflections which I have picked today, and few themes which have been resonating in different speakers' presentations, and how, from WHO perspective, we also look at these themes. But let me begin by saying that for us in WHO, the whole area of middle-income countries and innovation and access in middle-income countries is inspired by what our Director General, in her opening speech in last World Health Assembly, said. And she very, without mincing words, she very frankly posed this issue to the health ministers of the world, that how the present system of income-based grouping of countries is and going to pose, if we continue with the system, huge challenges with reference to access to health services, and in particular, she gave example of graduation phenomena and the paradox that it presents. The paradox is that economically you grow, but from health point of view and access point of view, you are challenged at the same time. And this is a paradox which is actually at the heart of this discussion. And she very explicitly said that and invited thinkers, economists especially, and other thought leaders globally to provide guidance in this area, that is this system sustainable if we continue to grow economically, keep graduating, but at the same time keep endangering the basic public health care and basic public health needs of the people in these countries, which represent not less than three-quarters of poor who are on, live on this planet. So it's a huge question. It's a very important issue of our times. And she also questioned the sustainability of this system and this approach. So this was the kind of background within which we started conceiving this symposium and its topic. Now I will just share a few thoughts with you from our work in WHO and how we look at these issues. On the one hand, the markets in the middle-income countries offer huge opportunities, huge commercial opportunities in the field of health, to foreign companies for their businesses, but for local populations, local health systems, it may mean huge difficulties, especially with reference to access high-priced, unaffordable health technologies and medicines. We heard this morning that half of the government's budget, health budget, can be spent on buying medicines for diabetes, cancer, and hepatitis. And I will not go into the details and the kind of prices we are talking about. But these are the kind of challenges that we have to take into account when we talk about middle-income countries and the issues that they are posing. But at the same time, when we look at internally in middle-income countries and we look at the state of medical innovation and access in these countries, we first of all have to see that if not all of middle-income countries, but those who are emerging more at a higher rate, and few presentations we heard today from India's and China's and Brazil's, then one has to see that what kind of innovation is taking place, if it is taking place, and it is directed at what. Christian just mentioned a phrase, need-based innovation. Is it really a factor in our R&D policies, in our innovation policies, or is it entirely a market-based considerations which are driving our innovation policies and our investments, whether they are public or private, in research and development for medical technologies? Again, a big question. Linked with this also, in WHO, what we are observing is that big developing countries with a lot of capacities and economies growing at a very high rate, when it comes to global initiatives for addressing the market failures in research and development for those diseases which disproportionately affect poor in developing countries and in many cases including their own populations of big developing countries, we do not see that stepping up of contributions to those efforts. And I'm particularly referring to the work which is taking place in WHO in the context of consultative expert working group on research and development, financing and coordination, which calls for a global effort and a shared responsibility to contribute for a global research and development system which is more well-financed because of market failures. The governments have to step in their financial contributions, and we need to have a better and robust coordination system at global level. But we do not see contributions from high middle-income countries who see the problem very well, who recognize the problem very well, who also fight it very well in multilateral forums, but still fall short of really taking the bull by horns and really contributing in this area where a new global system can be developed and furthered. And I think the Ebola crisis, and we heard also Mary Paul Keeney today talking about it, is a case in point. This is a epidemic which has not happened for the first time. For the last 40 years, there is a recorded history of them. One of those infectious diseases which has very high mortality ratio. And yet, when the crisis occurs, the world is not ready to address it. There are no vaccines, there are no medicines, and there are no other diagnostics, etc. And we, again, go into that circle, and basically we suffer from market failure. And let me add that it's not just market failure. Market failure is also a function of public policy failure. But on this is about innovation, but when we talk about access, and especially access to those medicines which are produced locally by local pharmaceutical companies in middle-income countries, there also the situation is very interesting. And what is very important there is to actually define success. How we define success for a growing pharmaceutical industry in developing countries. And I give you two examples. We know that 80% of antiretroviral medicines in African continents are just coming from India. But can we confidently say that all HIV/AIDS patients in India have ensured access to antiretroviral medicines in India? Actually, UNAIDS say that 64% of HIV/AIDS patients in India do not have access to first-line antiretroviral medicines. So that disconnect that Vijay Raghavan mentioned is very pronounced, and it is very tragic. If we talk about Africa, a country which has the largest number of pharmaceutical companies is Nigeria. It's about 200 companies. And 80% of HIV/AIDS patients in Nigeria also do not have access to antiretroviral medicines. And this story goes on, and if you apply it to vaccines, the situation is even graver because Serum Institute of India claims that every fourth child in the world is one way or the other at some time is using vaccine manufactured in India. Now, can we also say that all Indian children who need those vaccines are vaccinated well in time through their EPI programs? And the answer would be no. So these are those disconnects which, and I was very appreciative the way Vijay very boldly and courageously at this forum mentioned all those issues and also indicated that things are not perfect and they are improving and policies are moving and which are all good news, but it really makes us think that the existing way of public policy formulation and the choice of right public policies in the area of innovation and access has to go a long way, to say the least. And lastly, what I would like to mention is that coming back to the point from where I started, the middle-income countries and this income group, income-based grouping, and its interface with access and innovation in the health sector, perhaps require some new, some paradigm shift, some new indices, which David Evans in his presentation this morning alluded to in his last slide, when he said that this system is actually not fit for the purpose when it comes to public health, innovation, and access considerations. And perhaps we need to develop a new index, which is a composite of different indicators which can feed into that composite index and which can actually then inform us about how we are performing on medical innovation and access. I would just like to close by again thanking all of you and especially the speakers on behalf of World Health Organization, and thank you very much for your continued cooperation. And as Christian said, we would really like also to hear from you what you would like to see these three organizations taking on as their agenda together in future. Thank you.